Today's share in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara Kesubos Daf Yotes. We're learning today Lila Nishmas Rose Rosenberg Eta Risha Bas Moshe. All the Nishmas we learned for should have an Aliyah from all learning. We begin on Yotes Amud Aleph, 12 lines down from the top with the words Gufa. Gufa always means that we're repeating something that we said recently in the Gemara, and that's exactly what we learned towards the end of yesterday's share. We had the Shita, which we'll now go through as we read it. Gufa, Amar Rav Huna, Rav Huna said the name of Rav, Mode Bishtar. The halach is agreed upon that we hold that if somebody admits that he was the one that wrote the shtar, mode bishtar shekisavo, he admits that he wrote the shtar, the love, the one who's borrowing the money, admits that he wrote this shtar of the IOU, ain't tzorach l'kaimo. There is no need, Rav Huna Amar Rav says, to go and be mekayim that shtar to authenticate the signatures of the witnesses on it, because he himself admits that this shtar is a real shtar. And this is the Gemara that we brought down yesterday that we said was the explanation for Rav Meir, why Rav Meir didn't say Pesha Asa, Pesha Hiter in a situation where there was Onsen. And the reason was is because the Lov himself admitted that this Shtar was Mekuyam, and therefore the Eidim's authentication of the Shtar is not necessary, and therefore there is no Pesha Asa, Pesha Hiter. That's how we ended off yesterday's shir, and now the Gemara questions this. Omri Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, Ganuva, Ganuve, Lomoloch. Rav Nachman says somewhat of a strong language to Rav Huna, and he tells him, are you a Ganav? Now, what does that mean? So Rashi says, Mizganev ata lomar dvarecha beloshon shlo nechliku bo hayochid v'hamerubin. Kidesh lo yivatlu es dvarecha di amris ki chidor. Rav Nachman is telling Rav Huna, what you're doing is stealing the people's minds. You're making it sound like this is a statement that is accepted by all. When you say, Mode Mishtar Shikisovo, that means implying that everybody agrees to that, when in fact, it's only Rav Meir. This was a Das Yochid, and you're making it sound like it's a Das of the Rabbim. So you're fooling people, you're making people think that this is a general statement that's accepted by everybody, when it's really the Das of a Yochid. And in fact, Rav Nachman continues, he says, Isvira Loch Kirabi Meir, if you want to say this din over, and you hold like Rav Meir, so say it over in the name of Rav Meir. Therefore, that's what you should have said, rather than just saying that in general, you should have said, Rav Meir holds that way. As Rashi adds and continues in the next Dibra Maskli Sfira, he says, don't make it sound over here, don't list it over here as a separate statement implying that it's everybody's opinion. No, Rav Huna takes the statement for Rav Nachman as a good critique, and he tells him, Rav Nachman, what do you hold in this matter? What would you do in this situation? How would you have said it? As Rashi points out, what would your way of saying this have been? How do you paskin? So Rav Nachman says back to Rav Huna, well, this is what I do in my base din. Ki asu l'kamon l'dino, when these people come to me, when the person who's owed money, let's say Reuven is owed money by Shimon, and Shimon has authenticated the shtar on saying that it's his own writing, and yes, I wrote that shtar, so Amrina l'hu, we tell the Reuven, we tell the person who's trying to collect the IU, zilu kaimu shtaraychu, you have to go to be kaim the shtar, and then l'chos l'dino, then come back to the base din. In other words, when you have witnesses to authenticate the shtar, go and bring them, because we do not rely upon this Das Yochid of Rav Meir that says, Hamode Bishtar Shekisovo, if a person admits that he wrote the Shtar, ain't Tzorach L'Kaimo. That's Rav Meir's opinion. We don't hold like that. We say Tzorach L'Kaimo. So Rav Nachman says, we don't paskin like Rav Meir, and therefore don't make this into sounding like it's a Shita that everybody accepts. Mark Ketinian says, Amar Yehuda Amarav, Omer Shtar Amono Huzeh. If the person says that this is a Shtar Amono, he brings a Shtar, and he says, this is a shtar amana. So we have over here Reuven who borrowed money from Shimon. And someone says, we'll see three different opinions in a moment, who says this? Somebody says that this is a shtar amana. A shtar amana, it's explained by Rashi, is lo lova klum. This loan never took place. However, el kisovo umesoro lamalve. The lova was willing in this situation. He trusted the malve. And he said, listen, I'm going to possibly need money from you. I want a line of credit from you. I'm going to need money from you. So I'm writing up this shtar that says I owe you $100, and I'm giving it to you, even though you haven't given me yet the $100. So when I do need the $100, you'll give it to me right away, because the shtar is all written up. We don't have to waste time with the legal matters. We'll have the shtar all written up. I'll say, okay, here's the shtar. You hold on to it, and when I need the money, I'll come to you. I trust you. They're friends. I trust you. You're not going to go and collect on the shtar without me actually lending me the money. Shem Yitzdarech Lavos, that Shimon, the one who's lending the money from Reuven, says to Reuven, here's the shtar, if I need the money, Yalva, you'll lend it to me then, Veminu. And Shimon trusts Reuven, Shelo Yitba'enu, Elim Kein Malveyu. And he trusts him that he won't come in to collect the shtar unless he actually lends him the money. Now, this shtar amana is being claimed. Einu Neman. So the person who says that this is a shtar amana is not believed. Now, who is saying this? The Kamerman. Who exactly is saying over here that this is a shtar amana? So the Gemara goes through several possibilities and seems to reject all of them, and then we'll have three different answers as to which one it is. So the Gemara starts off and says, Ilemo de Karma Lover, if you're telling me it's the Lover who says that this is the shtar amana. Shimon says, listen, I had this authorized to be given to Reuven, but I never borrowed the money from him. Pshita, that wouldn't be accepted. Kol Kamine, do we listen to him? As Rashi points out, in Dibra Mas Kol Kamine, follow Edim Chasumimbo. Pshita, the sky and the Chosbov. How can you possibly listen to the Lover to say that the star is not a valid star? If Reuven can authenticate the star and prove that the witnesses are in fact true witnesses, so we don't believe Levi to say that this is a star of money, because that's a very unusual situation that somebody would do this. I mustn't it be the to come our Malva. The Malva is the one that's saying that this is the Shtar Amona. So call a Kavod. Tavu Alav Bracha. Wow, what an honest person. Here he has a Shtar that he could have collected on, and he admits that it never was actually a Shtar that had been loaned money on. So he's a Tzaddik. So why would we not believe him? Why would you say Einu Neman? If the Malva is the one, if Reuven says, listen, this is a Shtar Amona, I never actually gave him the money. Of course we would believe him. He's a Tzaddik. I, El Dikami Adim, the witnesses that signed on it, they're the ones that said that this is the Shtar Amona. So the Gemara says it can't be. If in fact the Shtar is authenticated by alternative methods, you have people that either show that this was their signature or people that recognize their signature, so then this Shtar is already authenticated, so Ksav Yodam Yotzi Mimokom Acher, so then Pshita Dulom Hebne, because you no longer have the Pesh Osa Pesh Hiter Hector that we've been saying for the last couple of days that would allow the two witnesses that are on the star, Levi and Yehuda, that signed on the star that Reuven had lent money to Shimon. So if Levi and Yehuda are now coming along to say that this is a star of money, they're only believed if they have a Pesha Asa Pesha Hita. But here it's authenticated via other methods, so therefore they're not believed. And if it's not authenticated by other methods, be the ain Kosav Yodam Yotzi Mokum Acher, so then am I low mehemni? Then this is a classic case of Pesha Asa Pesha Hita. They're the ones that are saying this is an authentic star, so therefore they believe when they say that it's a star of money. So again, we're stuck. Who is the one who said, Ha'omer Shtar Amana, who's there, Eino Nemun? Who is the one that said this? So the Gemara gives three answers, and we have a mnemonic over here, Simon Ba'ash. The base is going to be for Rava, the Aleph is going to be for Abaye, and the Shin is going to be for Rav Ashi. We always point out, it's a school to say these Simonim. You should remember the Gemara well. So Omer Rava, so the Rava is the first teretz, the base is for Rava. Le'olam dekomar Lova. We're actually talking here about a case where it's the Lova who says that this is the Shtar Amona, but this goes, Uchad Rav Huna, that we learned at the beginning of today's share, at the end of yesterday's share, the Omer holds like Rav Meir. The Omer Rav Huna, Omer Rav, that this situation is mode b'shtar shiksovu, ain't sorach l'kaimo. That he was the one that admits, yes, this is my handwriting, I wrote the Shtar. And then he says it's a shtar amana. We don't believe him. Because as soon as he says that this is my handwriting, the shtar is mekuyam. And now he can't go and say that it is a shtar amana. Because it's no longer a peshos a peshahiter. It's mekuyam. The shtar is mekuyam. And Rav Huna Amar Rab would say in that situation that the shtar doesn't have a peshos a peshahiter, as Rav Meir had said. So that's teretz number one. Teretz number two, Abaye Amar, no, Leolu Dora Malva. It's the Malva who says that this is the Shtar Amona. We said before, Tovu Lo Bracha, what a tzaddik, that the Malva has this Shtar that he could collect upon if he can authenticate the witness's signature. And he can because it really was written, but it was written as a Shtar Amona, and he says so, why don't we believe him? So, in that situation, should it be certainly Nemon? Why do we say Eino Nemon? Because Uchigon Shechov Liacherim. Because, well, he's a big tzaddik to say that Shimon doesn't owe him the money, but Reuven owes money to other people. So when Reuven says that, yes, Shimon doesn't owe me this money, and Reuven has no other means to pay back his creditors, so he's actually hurting his creditors, and therefore he's not believed to hurt his creditors. Kegon shechov liacher. Reuven owes Levi money. So Shimon, if he were to pay back Reuven, then Reuven could go back and pay Levi, but if Reuven says that Shimon doesn't owe me the money, so then Reuven doesn't have any money to pay back Levi. So therefore, this is what's known as Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson. And this goes Uched Rabbi Nosson. This goes like the famous Shita Rabbi Nosson, the Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson, that says if A owes B money and B owes C money, C can go collect directly from A. He doesn't have to go and collect from B and wait till B collects from A. C can go directly to A and is allowed to go and collect directly from A. And that is Shibuda de Rabbi Nosson. The Tani, we learn this in the Brisa of Rabbi Nosson. Omer, Minayin Lenosha B'chavei Ramona. If, in fact, A owes B money, v'chaveiro b'chaveiro, and B owes C money, so C can go and bypass B and go collect directly from A. Minayin shemotzim mizeh v'nosim lezeh. C can go and go directly to A and go collect the money. This is based upon the pasuk Tamalomer, v'nosan la'asher osham lo. As Rashi explains it in the last Rashi on the daf, the lo kotsav la'asher hilveyu. The pasuk didn't use the word lasher hilveyu. It said asher osham lo. So we learn out from this extra drasha el lasher hasham shelo. Hashamu keren. Keren means the principal, as we learn in Perek Gozel in Baba Kama. Lemisha keren shelo. So therefore, this pasuk is darshan by Rabbi Nosson as teaching us that C can go collect directly from A. He doesn't have to wait till B pays him if B is owed money by A. So this is known as Shibuda Rabbi Nosson, and that's why Abaye says in this situation we don't believe a Malva. Yes, if the Malva wasn't going to gain anything from this, so 100% Tovolo Brocha, he's a tzaddik for not collecting on a shtar that he could collect on, and he's admitting that it's a shtar of money, never actually lent the money. But here, his statement isn't just a magnanimous statement, it's actually hurting somebody. It's hurting Levi. Since Levi now can't collect from it, we don't believe the Malva in this situation. And the final third teretz is Ravashi. Ravashi Omar, Leolum Da Karmi Eidim. He says it's the Eidim that is saying this over here. And we're dealing over here with the Enksav Yodim Yosef Mokamach, and there is no alternative way, no other method to authenticate the signatures. So if the two Eidim, Levi and Yehuda, on this document that Reuven lent money to Shimon, say that it's a Shtar Amana, they're not believed in this situation, why don't we say Peshos HaPeshihitir? Oh, the Ka'amis Amaylo Mehemne, because of Peshu Asa Peshiyitir, because this goes like Rav Kahana, Kid Rav Kahana, what did Rav Kahana say? Dabar Rav Kahana. Also, Liyodim Shiyashe Shtar Amon Besoch Beso. In this situation, you're forbidden to keep a Shtar Amon in your house. Granted, it's not a problem of a Shtar Muktam, Rashi points out, since they all agree that we're writing this now and that the Shibu takes effect at that moment in time, even though the loan will not occur until 2 months later, let's say. So, it's not considered a shtar mukdam because they're agreeing that the creditors would be allowed to collect from his property from this point and on. So it's not a problem shtar mukdam, but it's not a real shtar. No money was actually lent, and therefore one shouldn't keep such a shtar around. And if you're basically saying that you signed on such a shtar, you're saying you're mesim atzmo rosha. And we've already mentioned, we have a famous rule that person isn't allowed to make himself into a Rasha. And therefore, we don't believe testimony that makes you into a Rasha. And therefore, if a person signed on a Shtar Amana, of Kahana says, it's forbidden to do so. Also, so you're not allowed to leave the Shtar in your house. And therefore, if the two witnesses are saying that this is a Shtar Amana, they're basically complicit in this keeping a shtar amon around, and the pasuk says, we bring down the pasuk from Iyov, which tells us, Mishum Shenemar, Al Tashkein. The pasuk actually says, Ve'al Tashkein Be'olecha Avla. Don't keep in your house something that is an Avla, something that is a stumbling block, something that is a injustice. And we turn to your testament base. The Amar of Sheshes, Breda Ravidi, Shmaminoi the Rakana, Sheshes, who is the son of Ravidi, says, we can see from this statement of Rav Kahana that Eidim Sha'amru Amon, Hoyud Vareinu. Here's the proof. If the Eidim say that this is a Shtar Amana, so even though it's a Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter, we say to them, Einon Nemonim, Ein Nemonim. Those witnesses aren't believed. Why not, my Taima? Because, given the Avlo, this is a stumbling block, this is an injustice. Avla lo chosme. Nobody should sign on an Avla. And then Mesim Asma Rasha, if they were to say that we signed on the Shtar Amana, and therefore, since we have a rule that we don't allow a person to give testimony that's Mesim Asma Rasha, and therefore, the Edom are not believed, as Rashi says, Ein Nemonim L'Harshia Satzman, they're not believed to make themselves into a Rasha. And that's why Rav Ashi says, based upon this din of Rav Kahana, that in fact, we don't allow the Edom to be believed in this situation with the Pesha Asa Pesha Hita, because it turns him into a Rasha. Rav Shimon Levi says, also Liliodim Shiashish Tar Parua Besoch Peso. Rav Shimon Levi adds to what Rav Kahana just said, and he says that in addition to not being allowed to have a shtar amana, Rav Shimon Levi says you're not allowed to have a shtar parua in your house, a shtar that's paid back. We'll see in a moment why he didn't give it back, but you're not allowed to keep a shtar parua in your house. Also, based upon this pasuk, al tashkein ba'olecha avla, because you're not allowed to keep an injustice, you're not allowed to keep the stumbling block in your house. So Rav Shimon Levi darshes this pasuk for a shtar parua. Rav Kahana had darshed it for a shtar amana. Now, in Eretz Yisrael, b'marava mishmei derav amri. In Eretz Yisrael, they added on a statement for Rav. Rav originally came from Eretz Yisrael before he went to Babel. So they said over in Eretz Yisrael, in the name of Rav, the following, the beginning of this pasuk, im oven biyodcha harchi keyu. That's the beginning of this pasuk, v'al tashkein bo'olecha avla. So the beginning of the pasuk says, im oven, if there is something oven is like a big chait, something really wrong, biyodcha in your hand, harchi keyu, get rid of it. And they said in Eretz Yisrael, the name of Rav, that this is referring to Zeh Shtar Amona Ushtar Pasim. This is referring to the Shtar Amona. Not the end of the Pasuk is referring to the Shtar Amona. The beginning of the Pasuk is referring to the Shtar Amona. And also a Shtar Pasim. What is a Shtar Pasim? A Shtar Pasim is essentially a Shtar that was written as a fake. It was intentionally written, so-and-so owes me $100,000. Ooh, it looks like I got $100,000 on credit. And therefore, I'm a rich guy. So therefore, Reuven is willing to write a false document over here, a shtar pasim, to make Shimon look like he has a lot of money potentially coming to him. So therefore, maybe he's in business. He wants to show that he has a good credit line. So therefore, I desire you. Don't worry. If I run into trouble, Reuven owes me $100,000. So therefore, I'm doing well. So that's a shtar pasim. So Rav, who said over the name of Rav, that the beginning of the pasuk, don't keep an oven in your hand, that is, stay far away from it, that's a reference to shtar amona and shtar pasim. And the end of the pasuk, v'al tashkein bo'olecha avla, and here you see the vav is there, because now we're referring to the end of the pasuk, so it reads the entire end of the pasuk, v'al tashkein bo'olecha avla, zeh shtar parua. That's referring to a document that has been paid up, and you shouldn't keep that in your house as well, because it could be, rachmona l'tzlan, collected a second time, and that's improper. Now, the Gemara says, Man di'amr shtar parua, Rav Shimon Levi, who says that the end of the pasuk refers to a shtar parua, al tashkein bo'olecha avla, is referring to the shtar parua, so certainly, kol shekein shtar amona, if you're not allowed to keep a shtar parua, which there's a reason to possibly keep a shtar parua, so you certainly can't keep a shtar amona. Now, why can you keep a shtar parua? We'll see in a moment. But if he says that al tashkein bo'olecha avla is referring to a shtar parua, then certainly you're not allowed to keep a shtar amona, because a shtar parua has a somewhat of a reason that you're allowed to keep it. And if you're not allowed to keep that, so you certainly can't keep a shtar amona, which has no reason whatsoever that you should be allowed to keep it. However, Rav Kahana, who said that the end of the pasuk al tashkein bo'olecha avla refers to a shtar amona, umadi omar shtar amona, so he would say, maybe, listen, a shtar amona, which has no purpose whatsoever to be kept, you're not allowed to keep. However, avo shtar parua, maybe he would hold that a shtar parua, a paid-up shtar, that technically you are allowed to keep. That's not called al tashkein bo'olecha avla. Why not? Lo, that's not considered something that you can't keep in your house, because the zimnim, the mashile apshite de safra. Because sometimes, let's say Reuven lends Shimon money, a real documented loan with Edom, etc., and the shtar is a good shtar, and Shimon pays back Reuven. Now, who was supposed to pay for the shtar being written up? Who was supposed to pay the scribe's fees on this? So the one who gets the money, he's the one that's supposed to pay. But he didn't have any money. So Reuven said, in addition to giving you the $100 loan, I'll pay the $50 to the scribe to go and pay for the documentation of the loan. Okay. Shimon now pays back the $100. And Reuven says, hey, what about the $50 for the scribe? And Shimon says, I don't got that right now. Hold on to the document, the shtar parua, which I paid you back. And when I pay you for the scribe, the extra $50, he'll give me back the loan. So this is called apshite de safra, the money that is to be paid to the scribe. And therefore, in this situation, these fees, which haven't been paid yet, so they're basically using the paid-up shtar as the collateral to prove. Now, this paid-up shtar could theoretically be collected a second time because it's in the hands of the malva, but this was somewhat allowed, so therefore, if you hold that the end of the pasuk refers to a shtar amana, it doesn't mean that you would agree that it refers also to a shtar parua. But if you say the end of the pasuk refers to a shtar parua, then certainly it refers to a shtar amana, for which there is no possible reason that you should be allowed to hold on to it. Mark continues and says, Itmar, similarly, we have an idea of a sefer, she'en amuga. If you have a sefer, Rashi says, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. it's talking about any of the Svarim of Tanakh, the 24 Kisvei HaKodesh. Others say it refers to other Svarim as well. And it's not properly corrected. In other words, there are mistakes in this Sefer. So that could lead to a terrible takola. Imagine if you had a Mishnah Berurah that had the word lo missing from something that's not allowed to be done. So it sounds like you're allowed to do it. So if the Sefer that you're dealing with is not properly corrected, so Rav Ami tells us, I'm a Rav Ami, you have 30 days to correct it. Ashloshim yom mut l'shahoso. You're allowed to keep it in your house for 30 days. Okay, new, the sofa's coming tomorrow. Not everyone knew how to correct it, so you need to go get some correction on it. You have a Sefer Torah, for example, and some words are rubbed out, so it can be corrected in certain ways, depending on what's rubbed out, how it's rubbed out. So you have 30 days to go get the sofa to come to your house to go and correct it. But beyond that, Mikamba Elech, beyond the 30 days, also Lasho. So it looks like you're not going to go and correct it, and therefore you're not allowed to keep it in your house any longer than that. Again, why? Because of this pasuk, Mishum Shenemra, Atashkein Beolecha Abla. Don't keep in your house something that could be a potential stumbling block. It could lead to an injustice over here because it's missing certain key words, and that could lead to the wrong pshat. That could lead to the wrong psak din. Rav Nachman says, if witnesses come and say that, yes, this was a real legitimate note, but it never was actually lent. The money was never lent. This is a shtar amana. We said they're not believed. Again, the pesha, asa pesha, hitra over here is something that is incorrect because you may seem atzma rasha, and we don't allow that. But, here we're dealing with, let's say Reuven selling something to Shimon. Reuven has a very important object, and Shimon wants it and wants it. Reuven doesn't want to sell it to Shimon, but Shimon forces Reuven to sell it to him. So he's not stealing it in the sense that he's not paying for it. He's paying for this vase, this very expensive vase that Reuven's a family heirloom, and Shimon wants it very badly. So Shimon buys it from Reuven, but Reuven doesn't want to sell it, but he's forced to sell it. So he tells the witnesses who are going to sign on this sale document, says, listen, I am being forced to sell this over here. This is what's called a modah. He tells them before they're signing on this, he says, listen, Reuven tells these two Edom, Shimon is forcing me to sell this. I don't want to sell this. I'm giving you a modah that I'm only selling this under duress. And eventually, when I'm not under duress, I want to be able to go get it back. And I'll pay back the money, but I want to get back my vase. So if the witnesses say, yes, this is a legitimate shot, but the Reuven, the owner, had told us beforehand, modah yadurenu, so then, Ein Nemonim. Rav Nachman says that this also is a case where we don't believe the witnesses. We don't say Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir in this situation as well. On the other hand, Mar Bar Rav Ashi disagrees. Mar Bar Rav Ashi Omar, with the Amon, I agree with you. Amon Yudvareinu Ein Amon. Again, for the reasons that we just said, Ein Odom Mesim Asma Rasha. So therefore, in this situation, we don't believe the Pesha Asa Pesha Hitir taina that they might have otherwise have had, because they made some Atzmal Rasha, and we don't believe that. However, Marba Rav Ashi disagrees with Rav Nachman's second statement about the Modah, whereas Rav Nachman had said that the Edom who say Modah Hayudvarenu is also not accepted, Modah Hayudvarenu Nemanim, according to Marba Rav Ashi. He says that we do believe them in this situation. How come? My taima? Because he says, Hai niton li kosev, v'hai lo niton li kosev. Because he says, by the amana, they shouldn't have done so. That's an avla. There's no good that can come from writing the shtar amana. Only bad can come from it. No, when Reuven lends Shimon the money, then write the shtar. But until then, it's only going to lead to trouble. Somebody's going to die, and there's going to be the shtar around. They're going to collect on it, because they're not going to know that it wasn't a legitimate shtar. And the witness is going to say, or the signature will be authenticated, and money will be incorrectly collected. However, that's why a shtar aman is no good according to everybody, both Rav Nachman and Marba Rashi. But Marba Rashi says, a modah, that's a perfectly legitimate thing to sign on. After all, Reuven is under duress, and therefore is nitan li kosev, that is allowed to be written, as opposed to the shtar aman, which is not allowed to be written. So that's the machlokas between Rav Nachman and Marba Rashi. So Rashi asks, so why doesn't Rav Nachman hold like this? So Rashi says, indeed, Rav Maskel, ein nemanim, the lo osli al peh umara le lishtora, because there is now a verbal statement Rav Nachman says that they're making, and that can't come and ruin this already authenticated document. This essentially is eino chozir umagid. They've already said that this document is valid. So once they say the document is valid, they're now retracting that validity, and that they don't have the right to do, according to Rav Nachman. By Mine Rav Mir Nachman, Rav asked Rav Nachman the following Shiloh. What about Tanai Hayudvarenu? Mahu. What happens if the two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, who signed on this document say, yes, this is a valid document, but there was a certain condition that would allow this to go into effect, that the Levi over here in this situation had sold this vase to Yehuda, but only on the condition that Yehuda sell him something else. And until Yehuda sells him something else, a condition was set, then the vase that Levi is selling Yehuda doesn't go into effect. So the two witnesses, Reuven and Shimon, say, yes, we signed on the shtar, but there was a tenai involved, and the tenai was never fulfilled. And therefore, this is not a collectible shtar. So this is what Rav asked Rav Nachman. So the following svara is said by Rav Nachman. Modor v'amona. Rav Nachman said that both a amona and a modor, they're not believed. Hainu taima, the reason they're not believed is because they're uprooting what was written in the original shtar. And we don't say peshos v'peshehitir for the reason of that ain adam esim asmo rasha, and because their testimony was already accepted, the eino choser umagid. They're not allowed to go and retract that and say a new testimony now. You get to say one time, you don't get to say two times. So therefore, Rav Nachman says, just like the modor and the amona, the witnesses aren't believed, eino nemonim, so too, by this shtar, which they're saying has the tenai attached to it, hainami, ko'oka lishtara. They're also uprooting the shtar, and therefore, we don't believe them. Or do we say, no, they're two separate statements over here. This star is a good star. But they're also saying, not contradicting the original star, they're saying the original star is a good star, but they're saying that there was a tonight that was never completed. And if the tonight is not completed, that doesn't mean that the original star is not a valid star. It's just that the condition wasn't met, and therefore the money that this star says should be transferred over is not, the sale that this star says should have been done is not a completed deal. So it doesn't contradict and uproot the original shtar. So maybe in this situation, Rav Nachman would hold differently. So Rav Nachman says back to Rav, Amalei, ki asu l'kam l'dina, when these people come to us with their din Torah over here, the Levi and Yehuda are arguing. Levi says, I didn't sell to you because I sold to you on a condition. You never filled the condition. Yehuda says, there was no condition. Ki asu l'kam l'dina, we tell them, Amrina l'hu, I tell all the Bali Dinam over here, Zilu Kaimu Tino Aichu, the Chusuladina. You have to go and be Makayim the Tanai, because the witnesses say that there was a Tanai. So you either go be Makayim the Tanai and then come back for the Din Torah, or else you have nothing over here. Because we do believe the witnesses in this situation, because they're not contradicting their earlier testimony. This is a separate testimony that there's a Tanai. And therefore, this isn't like the Amona, this isn't like the Modor, according to Rav Nachman. This is not uprooting the original testimony, this is making a new testimony, and that they believe for. What happens if you have Reuven and Shimon over here? One of them says that there was a Tanai, and the other one says there wasn't a Tanai. So in this situation, how do we pass it? On Rav Papa says, Tarvayu bishtorim ma'ayu komasadi. Bottom line is, if you hold like Rav Nachman, that it's two separate dinim, two separate statements that the witnesses are making, so then when Reuven and Shimon come and say that this was a valid shtar, so they're believed. And now, and now one of them says that this is a tanai, but it's only one witness. So you can't have one witness negating the shtar. And therefore, in this situation, Rav Papa says that since it's only one witness, they can't uproot the shtar, that the shtar was written without a tanai. More questions. It says, Masakla Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua. It says, wait a second. E hachi, what you're basically saying is, afilu tavayu nami, when then Rav Nachman's din isn't correct. Because if you're saying that this is established as a valid shtar, so now you'd have, even if both of them come along and say that there's a tanai, so then that should be, afilu tavayu nami, it shouldn't be believed, because they are essentially uprooting their earlier testimony. Their earlier testimony basically was saying that they're was no tanai. And now, it's not that this is a new testimony, they're now coming along and essentially retracting their testimony and saying that there was a tanai. Elo, Amrina, we have to say, Hani lima aker seududai sukasu. They're coming to retract their original testimony. And therefore, when one person comes along, Hainami lima aker seududai sukasi, he's now coming along and saying that my original testimony was not the same that you thought it was. And therefore, this should be believed, even if one person comes along, Rav Papa says, he should be able to ruin the authentication of the shtar. And the Gemara says, Taka, this is a good rationale. The Hilchosok Rav Huna, Brei Rav Yeshua, we in fact are concerned that this is a retraction, an uprooting really of the original shtar, even if one witness says so. And therefore, the Gemara says that the halacha is like this, question that Rav Huna Bar Yehoshua had raised, and that if they come along and say that there was a Tanai, even if only one witness comes along and says that this was a Tanai, that's not considered an authenticated shtar, and you can't collect on it until you either prove that that wasn't the case, or until you actually do the Tanai that was said that was part of the original shtar. Mark continues, brings down the following brisa. Turn to Rabban. We learn the following brisa. Shnayim chasumim al hashtar. You have two people, Reuven and Shimon, that signed on a shtar umesu, and then Nebuch they passed away. Ubo shnayim in Ashuk, and then two additional people, Levi and Yehuda, come from the market. They come from someplace else. V'yomer, when they say Yadanu shiksav yadmu, we can testify that these are Reuven and Shimon's signatures, so we can authenticate the shtar. However, Yadanu shiksav yadamhu aval anusim hayu. Yes, we can testify that they signed on this, but we also know for a fact that they were forced to sign this because they were being threatened with their lives if they didn't sign it. Or alternatively, ketanamayu, we know that they signed it, but they were 10 years old when they signed this. Or psuliedusayu, they were krovim at that time, or they were masachim ukuvi, as Rashi had said previously. So therefore, they are invalid edim. So these two new witnesses, Levi and Yehuda, come along. They are documenting it. That's the Pesha Asa, but also Pesha Hiter. Now they're saying that they're not reliable witnesses. Either they were Anusim, they were Ketanim, or they were Psulim. Hare Elu Nemonim. They're believed with the classical Pesha Asa, Pesha Hiter claim. However, V'imyesh Edim Shiksav Yodim Hu's there. But if we can authenticate the original signatures of Reuven and Shimon without Levi and Yehuda, for example, Osho Yoksav Yodim Yosim Makamacha, we can either authenticate it. We have another shtar that we can compare it to. This was a shtar that had been once questioned. For example, Mishtar Shakara Alov Arar. There once was a question about the shtar. V'huchzak B'Vesin, and Vesin went and authenticated it. So now we know for a fact that these are their authentic signatures, and we can compare them and say these are the identical signatures. So then Levi and Yehuda no longer have the Pesha Asa Pesha Hiter stratagem, and therefore Ein Elu Nemonim. Therefore, they're no longer believed in this situation. More questions this. It says, how can you collect with the original shtar? You're collecting with the original shtar, and we ignore the second pair of witnesses. This should be a classical case for my treyu treinenu. This should be a perfectly good case. We have two witnesses saying that something occurred, and the other two witnesses are machishim etzeh. So if you have two witnesses that come along and contradict the other two witnesses, we don't believe the first group, we don't believe the second group. We say that the edim hamachishim etzeh, they're contradicting each other, and we basically don't accept either one. This is different than Hazama. Hazama is a special Xeris HaKosov. When the second pair of witnesses come along and say that Reuven and Shimon, there's no way they could have done that day because they weren't in Chicago on that day, Imano Yis, and they were with us in New York at that time. You're saying you were in Chicago at 10 o'clock on Tuesday when this event occurred. So we say, no, Imano Yis, you were with us in New York at 10 o'clock on Tuesday, and there's no way you could have testified to that event in Chicago. Therefore, the Torah, in that situation, the Eidei Hazama gives us special belief in the second set of witnesses. But in this situation, why would you believe Reuven and Shimon, who we have, albeit documented their signatures on the shtar, more than we would Levi and Yehuda, to say, yes, those were their signatures, but they were either Anusim, Ketanim, or Psuliedus. So why do we believe the first group, so to say, more than we believe the second group? Amar Rav Sheshes says, because Zos Omeris, this is coming to teach us that Hachosho Tchilas Hazomohi. So this is in some way analogous to the din of Edim that are Zomimim, that are coming to prove that the first group is wrong, and the Torah gave them a certain nemonus. Now, what do we mean by this? We turn to Chofim Ra'alf. Now, this is not real Hazama that we're saying over here, but in some ways, it's comparable to Hazama. In what way? Ukishem, we turn to Chofim Ra'alf. Ukishem she'ein mezimim eso edim ela bifneim. Just like by edim zomim, it only works in their actual presence. The edim zomim have to be physically there. At the top, Rashi says, sharei heim boim l'chaibun k'dein la'onshan. O nefesh o'mamon. So these Edim Zomim are coming to go and show that the first group are Edim Zomim. The second group that comes is coming to cause the first group to, let's say, they Reuven and Shimon, the first group, and wanted to cause a loss of $100. So the second group, Levi and Yehuda, say, no, Imano Yisim, you're with us. So they caused them to lose $100. If the first group had wanted to kill somebody based on their testimony, they said, we saw so-and-so kill somebody on Tuesday in Chicago at 10 o'clock. And the second group, Levi and Yehuda, say, no, you're with us in New York at 10 o'clock. So Kasher Zomim Lassos, like they wanted to do, we would give them Misa. So in this situation, when you're going to potentially punish them in some horrible way, either with money or with their lives, HaTorah Omra, the Torah tells us, Rashi says, V'uad bivalov, yovo baal hashor v'yamod al shoro. They have to be there present. So therefore, just like by Edim Zomimim, you have to physically have the second group of Edim present in the presence of the first group of witnesses, that they're being Zomim. So, kach, so too over here. Ein machishin es Edim el bifneim. So, He wants to suggest, or Sheshis wants to suggest, that we don't allow the second group, Levi and Yehuda, in our case, to go and claim that the first group, Reuven and Shimon, who are dead, were Anusim, were Ketanim, or were Psulei Edus, because Reuven and Shimon aren't there, so we don't allow this. That's what Rav Sheshis wants to suggest. Gemara says, that's not fair. Only Rav Nachman says, Ilu havi kamon, if Reuven and Shimon had been there, umachishinlu, and we had in fact contradicted them, Levi and Yehuda had said, yes, you were the signers of this, but you were either Anusim, or Ketanim, or Psulei Edus, havi achosha, below havi makshkichim bo. So then this would have been a valid Edus that was a hachasha, edim hamachishim ze'ezeh, and what would we have done? The havale edus mucheshes, and therefore we wouldn't have accepted either one. We wouldn't have accepted the first group, and we wouldn't have accepted the second group. And unless you could otherwise authenticate the shtar with a different way, or prove the debt in another way, we wouldn't be able to collect it, because this edus hamachishim ze'ezeh. So hash to the lesno, so the fact that they're not here, we should ignore that. Maybe if Reuven and Shimon were there, they would have said, you know, Taki, you're right, we were Psulei Edus at the time, we forgot. Or they would have said, you know what, we forgot, and we were so scared of those people, we forgot, we put it out of our minds that they had threatened us with our lives. So if Reuven and Shimon had been here, maybe they would have admitted to Levi and Yehuda. How can you say that we totally disregard Levi and Yehuda? So therefore, they should be believed, mehevne. So therefore, we shouldn't accept this shtar as being a good shtar. So Rav Nachman says, therefore, the answer is as follows. El Omer Rav Nachman. Rav Nachman says, okay, trey, laha de trey. So this is a classical case of two versus two, and therefore, okay, mamona, becheskas mare. So we leave the money where it is. In other words, hamos b'chlev olav raya. So right now, the money is in his pocket, so you can't remove it from his pocket and bring it to the other guy's pocket unless you have edim that are substantiated in a way that there is no contradiction. And I'll show you that this is the right thing where it says, Midi, Dahave, Anirse, Devar Shatya. This is exactly analogous to the case of a man who is known as Bar Shatya. A Shote is a person who is not competent. So this man was known as the Bar Shatya. He was the man who was not competent. The Bar Shatya, Zovin Nirse, one time Bar Shatya sold his property. And along came two witnesses to say, Osu Beitrei, and I'm making sure Shotez Ab. And they said, no, this sale is not a valid sale. He was mentally incompetent at the time. He had some sort of psychiatric illness, and sometimes he was competent, sometimes he was not competent. And the two witnesses come along and say that this Bar Shatya sold it at the time that he was not competent. But then, Beosu Beitrei, and other two witnesses came along, Yarmekishu Cholim Zabin. And the other two witnesses say that he was Cholim. Cholim here means that he was well. It doesn't mean that he was sick. It means that he was well. And he was perfectly healthy. As Rashi says, Bari, Cholim means Bari, and he was perfectly healthy, mentally competent when he sold it, and therefore it's a valid sale. So you have two witnesses saying that he was incompetent, and two witnesses saying that he was competent. So what do we do? So for Rashi, this is a classical case of Edim Hamachishim Zezeh. Okay, Trey, Lade Trey. You have two saying one thing, two saying another thing, and therefore you leave things the way they are. Volki Mamona Becheskes Barshatya, and therefore the property stays in Barshatya's possession. He was the last one to have it, and now the question was the sale a valid sale or not? So we have to say, no, the sale is not a valid sale. Oh, this is exactly what Rav Nachman had said. Okay, Trey, Laha De Trey. And the Gemara says, further, the Lo Amora, and we only say this, Elo De Isle Chazoko De Avose. We only say this in this situation, Ravashi's Okay, Trey, Laha De Trey, was when this property had come into Barshatya's possession via a Yerusha. So there was no doubt that it was his. Whether he's competent or not, you get a Yerusha. But if it didn't come of his father, but we want to claim that Barshatya himself bought it from somebody else, so then the same thing happens there. I mean, maybe he was mentally incompetent when he bought it, and therefore, and now again, he's mentally incompetent when he's selling it. So therefore, then we would let the sale go through, because who says that he was mentally competent when he got it? So in this situation, where we don't have okay, mamone becheskas barshatya, because it's not clear that it ever was his. So in this situation, we have the right to give it over to the person who now possesses it, even though there's a witness that said that maybe he was mentally incompetent at that time, but there's no guarantee that barshatya ever really owned it. And therefore, in this situation, we say leave the money where it is. The person who purchased the field, he has the right to have it, and barshatya would have to prove that he purchased it, that he wasn't mentally incompetent, and then he would be able to get it back. But otherwise, okay, mamone becheskas mare. You leave the money, you leave the property where it is. With this, we conclude today's share.